We'll start, if you've got your Bibles, you can turn to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, and we're going to eventually get there. But I wanted to ask you, the challenge cards, how's that going? If you are handing out cards, and I don't mean to downplay those at all. Matter of fact, I would like, when you take these cards and hold them in your hand, God's going to bless them. And if Satan can distract you, they'll stay right there with the rubber band on, and nobody will use them. So don't let the devil rob your joy. On the back it says truelife.org. So on the front, if you'll just do something as simple as this, to say, I mean, I can see people over and over, but if Joe's the guy I see at the grocery store and say, hey, Joe, you know why I go to Life Point? And I know, do you go to church anywhere? Well, not right now. I'll tell you, that's our church on the front. But you don't even have to come to church, because on the back, if you'll just look up truelife.org, you can see right here where it says free videos, answers to life's hard questions. Okay, they'll take that card. You just planted the seed and God can use that. And you say, well, I've tried it a couple of times, didn't get anything. Brett, you ever went fishing?
Yep.
Did you catch something every time you go? Yep. Brett will go sometimes and doesn't catch a thing. He still goes. You can hand that card out and not catch a thing, but you still go. Matter of fact, if you invite somebody and you're out there fishing, Jesus said we'll be wide of men, fishers of men. You'll hand a card out and you don't see anything. You hand a card out and not, well, God, should I keep fishing? Yeah, because if you're not careful, you might end up with this. Brett caught one that day. He took a picture of the only fish he's ever caught in his life. And then later he caught another one, so that was even bigger. Brett, what kind of fish are those?
Northern pike.
Northern pike. The thing must be 5 feet long, so that's why you go fishing every day, to hopefully end up with something like that. And so when you finally catch a fish, I don't know if you can see that back there. Look how, that's a monster. So if you can catch a fish, that will propel him to go again. Well, if you hand out a card and somebody says, I'm going to see you on Sunday, that right there will give me enough inspiration, encouragement, and motivation to keep handing them out. You only have to catch one fish about out of every 20 trips, and that'll be enough to motivate you to keep going. So please keep handing out those cards. We are in the Believe series. It's where we think, act, and be just like Jesus. If I start thinking like him, the Bible says I should have the mind of Christ. I think like him, I act like him, and I want to be like him. We went through the Believe series part one. We covered 10 beliefs, and there they are. It's where we believe the God of the Bible is the only true God. We believe he's personal to us. We accept him as our Savior. We read the book called the Bible. We soon believe I'm significant. And the world says, oh, you're junk, you're stupid, and you're all that. No, I'm not. My God thinks I'm pretty special. Nobody else's opinion really matters. I believe the church is God's primary way to accomplish his purpose. Humanity, we got to love others. Have them in our hearts. Pray for them. Give. I believe everything I am and everything I own belongs to God. And I believe one day God's going to come back and there's a heaven and a hell and we'll be in one of those two places. Nobody can option out of that. So that's what we do. That's how, what we think. So what do we do once we think those things? Well, as a believer, keeps running those beliefs routinely and consistently, transformation will come. You'll start saying, I'm going to do some things that God's changing me. You're right. The living presence of the Holy Spirit in my spirit will help me to yield to his influence. I won't get angry like I used to. I won't get aggravated. So I'm thinking, what used to bother me won't bother me anymore. Where I used to just look out for me, now I'm looking out for others. God changes me. Right beliefs in the mind become outward expressions from the heart. And our first expression last week, if I think these things, how does that come out? It comes out in worship. Our second expression this week is we're going to talk about prayer. So, key practices. What shall I do? I want to worship. And I want to pray. I want to worship God for who he is and what he's done for me. And I want to pray to God to know him, to find direction for my life, and to lay my request before him. So let's take a look at our handouts now that belong in our folders. Last week I talked about worship. If you want to write these things down, you can. This goes on the worship side. What comes to mind when you think of worship? I don't know whether some people raise their hand. They might just say amen. They just sing a song. They might pray. The key question, how do I honor God the way he deserves? We covered a lot of these last week, but I just wanted to fill in your blanks for you. Key idea, I worship God for who he is. For no other reason, just thinking for who he is and what he's done for us. key verses there. Come, let us sing joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before Him with thanksgiving and extol Him with music and song. So, fill in those first couple blanks. At about midnight, Paul and Silas were in prison. They were found singing and praying to God. They'd just been beaten severely and tossed in jail. Most of us would be griping, complaining, and cussing. Yeah, if this is what God does for me. These guys sing and pray. So they're singing and praying to God. And when we choose to worship, even when things aren't going well for us, we make others sit up and take notice. The world will say, how come you're not complaining? How come you're not doing this? How come you don't? What's wrong with you? Nothing wrong with me. I'm just trusting God Almighty. What do you think about the story? And we'll have to refer back. What do you think about the story Randy shared about the young girl who accepted Jesus and then was mistreated by her own father? You can read that in your Believe book. But I'll tell you in a nutshell. It was a Muslim girl who accepted Christ as Savior, and her dad basically locked her in a room for about 6 months. You know, don't serve the Jehovah God. It's not Allah. He didn't want to agree with that. And so she came out of there not moving around a lot. So her legs bothered her from then on. But she said, I got two prayer requests. I pray that God will heal my legs so I can walk again, so I can tell others about Jesus. And I pray that my daddy would get saved. That was her two prayer requests. Would you agree, as Randy suggested, that perhaps sometimes we fail to worship in a strong way because we have become, I think this, cold in our lives. We fail to worship in a strong way because we have become cold in our lives because of our lack of trials or hardships. Nobody worships. Nobody prays as hard as when until something goes wrong. Valley Forge said they sold more flags during 9/11 than they ever had. Wonder why? Suddenly everybody's patriotic. And the senators and the congressmen and all gather on the Capitol steps and we pray that day. Yeah, because we're in trouble. We need a touch from Almighty God. So suddenly we're praying. How long does that last? Well, a short time, and then it peters out. And then we go back to normal. I hope it never dies down for us. You take God for granted. It's funny how we don't talk to Him unless we need something. What kind of friend would you think you'd be if that's what you were? You call, and if you see my number, oh, it's Edgar. What's he want this time? Well, I wonder if God would say, oh, so-and-so's gone. I wonder what they want. Let's praise Him. Let's worship Him. Before we need something, let's talk to Him. Wouldn't you agree we tend to pray more and seek God more and praise and thank God more? Worship Him when things are not going so well? Yeah, we seek His face in because we need nothing short of a miracle. Down at the bottom of the page it says, the word worship literally means to attribute worth to someone. Simply stated, worship is the believer's response of all that he is, mind, emotions, will, and body, to all that God is. God, you have everything I have. That was worship from last week. If you missed it, I won't say any more. But that catches you up, hopefully. And today is his prayer. And I said, let's watch our video. Chris, would you show that Randy Frazzi video? This is our Believe series, and he's going to tell you some hints about prayer. There'll be a quiz afterwards.
Johnny had been misbehaving and was sent to his room. After a while, he emerged and informed his mother that he had thought it over and then said a prayer. Fine, said the pleased mother. If you ask God to help you not misbehave, He will help you. Oh, I didn't ask Him to help me not misbehave, said Johnny. I asked God to help you put up with me. Prayer. What an amazing concept. Having a conversation directly with God where you speak from your heart and try to sort life out. I can call up the President of the United States right now, and I'm pretty sure I will not be passed through. Yet, I can call on God right now, and I know He will listen. How can this be? The Bible teaches that through Christ we have direct access to God. What a phenomenal resource to guide us through life, which leads to our next key question. How do I grow by communicating with God? Here's the key idea behind the practice of prayer. I pray to God to know Him, to find direction for my life, and to lay my requests before Him. This is too good to pass up. Say it with me. I pray to God to know Him, to find direction for my life, and to lay my requests before Him. As it is with all spiritual practices, Jesus modeled them for us. He showed us the way. He is our personal trainer, if you would. Paul tells us in the book of Ephesians, watch Jesus and then simply do what He does. When you read through the Gospels, one of the patterns you see in the life of Jesus is prayer. He is continuously going to the Father to discover His will, to learn what His next step should be. He lived in utter dependence on the Father's will. He even said, "For I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of Him who sent me." We see this throughout His ministry, but no place is more intense than the night before His crucifixion. He enters into the Garden of Gethsemane and prays to the Father with an honest heart. "Father, if You are willing, take this cup from me, yet not my will, but Your will be done." Jesus, the Son of God, prays as we would pray. Crucifixion is painful and humiliating and results in death. He wanted to avoid it if at all possible. Yet, He came to do the will of the Father, and this took precedence. The cross was the will of the Father, so Jesus became obedient to death, even death on a cross. When the disciples came to Jesus and asked Him how to pray, He simply gave them a model that guided His life. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be Your name. Your kingdom come, Your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we have also forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one.
One day after Jesus had finished praying, one of His disciples approached Him and asked Him to teach them how to pray. Jesus said, "When you pray, say, 'Our Father in heaven, hallowed be Your name. Your kingdom come, Your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one.'" Then Jesus told the disciples a story. Suppose you have a friend and you go to him at midnight and say, "Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. A friend of mine on a journey has come to me and I have no food to offer him." And suppose the one inside answers, "Don't bother me. The door is already locked and my children and I are in bed. I can't get up and give you anything." I tell you, even though he will not get up and give you the bread because of friendship, yet because of your shameless audacity, he will surely get up and give you as much as you need. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him?
Immediately following this model prayer, Jesus tells the disciples that just as human fathers are predisposed to meeting the needs of their children, so God the Father is even more so inclined to say yes to our request if it is for our good. As a father of 4 children, I totally get this. I want only what is good for my children, and my heart is completely inclined towards them to use the resources I have to make their lives better. How much more does our perfect Father in heaven want this for us? And how vast are his resources? When it seems like God isn't answering our prayers, it is likely because it is not for the overall good or somehow interrupts or alters his will. Like Jesus, we should seek to align our lives to God's will versus asking God to align his plans to our will. Remember back in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus prayed, "Not my will, but yours be done." Jesus submitted to the good and perfect will of God the Father. And if we want to be like Jesus, we have to realize that the good we so long for is found in the perfect will of God. The crucifixion was hard, but think of the good results. God raised Jesus from the dead on the third day, and we now have the way to be restored with God forever. Jesus said, "For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day." That's good. The psalmist beautifully and personally captures the teaching of Jesus in our key verse. "Come and hear, all you who fear God. Let me tell you what he has done for me. I cried out to him with my mouth. His praise was on my tongue. If I had cherished sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened, but God has surely listened and heard my prayer. Praise be to God, who has not rejected my prayer or withheld his love from me." Hear the excitement in his voice about the power of prayer. He's pumped, and rightfully so. He honestly cries out to God with what is on his heart. He acknowledges and praises God for who he is. He also acknowledges that if sin were driving his request, God would not have listened. But because the psalmist aligned his will with the will of God, God opened up heaven and showered him with blessings. He did not reject his prayer or withhold his love from him. Now there's a great verse to memorize. More important than that, go ahead and try it on for size. The same thing God did for this guy, he longs to do for you. Back in 2007, our family was living in Chicago. I was serving as a teaching pastor at arguably the most innovative church of the 20th century. Serving this church seemed to be good stewardship of my life and gifts. Then out of nowhere, I get a call from renowned author and pastor Max Licato from San Antonio, Texas. He was dealing with some physical issues and needed to step aside as the senior pastor to become a teaching pastor of the Oak Hills Church. He wanted me to come and take over his role as senior pastor. While flattering, I had already been a senior pastor in Fort Worth, Texas for 15 years, and going back to this position would remove me from the global impact I felt I could have from Chicago. Yet I struggled to let go of the invitation for two reasons. One, our now adult children were moving back to Texas, and two, my teeny tiny wife really struggled with Chicago winters. She said, actually, it hurt. Yet to say yes to this opportunity would take me off the huge platform where I thought I could have the most impact for God. Staying in Chicago seemed to be God's will for my life, and my wife and I were certainly up for that. But we decided to pray, just in case we missed something. In addition to praying, we also met with three mentors who, independent of each other, strongly suggested that there was more to my calling than just my work in ministry. I had a calling to my family. To say yes to San Antonio, to me, meant saying no to broad ministry impact. But my wife and I sensed that God had other plans. So I opened my hands and said yes to San Antonio, Max Licato, Oak Hills Church, my family, and ultimately God, truly believing I could be limiting the reach of my ministry, and that was okay. Boy, was I wrong. Being in God's will actually expanded the reach of my ministry. We made the decision to move to San Antonio in November of 2007. By April of 2008, even before we arrived in Texas, I was partnering with Max Licato on a really cool Bible engagement experience called The Story. It had been in my heart and mind since 2005, long before that first call from Max. To date, there are now over 4,000 churches around the world that have gone through this journey, with over 4 million copies sold. And to top it off, that project led to a second idea that is now all bundled up in an experience called Believe. Isn't that just like God, to bless the socks off your efforts when you're aligned to his will? Because of a decision our family made through prayer, we are around our children and now grandchildren. My wife is warmer and happier, and I am speaking to you. This prayer thing really works, folks. So how do we grow by communicating with God? Let's rehearse a few ways together. First, I pray to align my life to God's will. Start off and finish your prayer like Jesus, but not my will, but your will be done. Second, I pray to lay my burdens before God to find peace. Be honest with God. As your loving Heavenly Father, His heart is inclined to answer your prayer if it will ultimately result in what is good and according to His will. An additional benefit, when you leave your request with God, you can be at peace and not worry about it. You have left it in good hands. Remember the famous words Paul wrote as he sat in joy in prison. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Give what troubles you to someone who truly cares about you and can handle it. You will sleep better at night. Trust me. Third, I won't make any major decisions in my life without seeking God through prayer. This was a consistent pattern in Jesus' life on earth. Good enough for Jesus, good enough for you and me. Fourth, I will pray for others. You may not have the financial resources to help people in a big way, but as a Christian, you have this mighty spiritual resource at your disposal. Use it for the sake of others. Even financial resources eventually run out, but the grace and mercy of God never does. So pray, and pray some more to know God, to lay your requests before Him, and to find direction for your daily life. Pray liberally for others. You might even pray that God would help others to learn to put up with you. I know I have.
If you look on your sheet, it says prayer. It says, what is prayer? Simply put, prayer is having a conversation with God. We speak to Him and He speaks to us. We speak to Him and He speaks to us. The Bible teaches that through Christ we have direct access to God. Isn't it amazing that we can talk to God and help sort out all the situations in life? It is even more amazing that God wants to hear from us. So let's take God up on His offer that He gives in Jeremiah 33:3. Call unto me and I will answer you, and I'll tell you great and unsearchable things that you do not know. You say, do I really need to pray? Well, check out these things. You don't have to write them down, but I just want to give them to you quickly. Jesus prayed for His disciples and for all believers. He prayed in praise to God the Father. Jesus prayed prayers of thanksgiving. He prayed in a posture. I like that. Sometimes I'll get on my knees at the house. You might think I'm crazy. It's okay. Jesus prayed in a posture with an attitude of reverent submission. If you pull up a chair next to you, you can picture Jesus sitting in front of you. Jesus, going a little further, He fell on His face to the ground and prayed. My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me, yet not as I will, but as you will. I don't know that I'd ever really done too much of that, but I'll give you an example in a moment. Jesus prayed in times of anguish when He's just hurting so much, and Jesus taught His disciples to pray, and that's where you're at in the Bible, Matthew chapter 6. Has anybody prayed this week? Can you raise your hand? Anybody have an answered prayer this week? Yeah. See there? For you guys who are still skeptical, back in 2007 after the tech shootings, I went to tech and I came back and I was just drained. You'd been given a hug and been given a cup of water, a bottle of water to some people, and I didn't know really, I just didn't know hardly what to do. And I came back, Jenny was taking a nap, and I just sat down and just felt like I'd run a mile. And I said, God, I've been giving out some hugs. I could use a hug. And in walks a little gray kitty cat through my yard. And since I went up to tech that day, I called him Hokie. And Hokie'd run over and get on the lap and then take off, run up down a tree. And I'm thinking, stray cat, somebody probably dropped him. And I'd pick him up and hold him. And I showed him to Jenny later. I said, this looks like Boo, our first kitty cat. But he's a blue Russian, had a little perk of the nose. But then I realized somebody probably dropped him because he had a runny nose. They call it later herpes virus. It's about like us having a cold. And then we learned he had asthma too. I didn't know that. So when he had an asthma attack, I'm thinking, okay, is he choking? Is he coughing? And then, okay, and then pretty soon he would have another one, and then Jenny would take off, and I think, oh, I hope she doesn't stay gone long. I don't want him to die while he's, you know, when mama leaves, things can fall apart. And he started coughing one night, and right here, going a little further, he fell with his face to the ground and prayed. I put my face in the red carpet of the base at the bathroom, I mean, my bedroom. Face in the carpet and said, God, you cannot let him die. And he did, and he was with us another, 12 years. Soon never had another asthma attack. We started giving him an inhaler in the morning. And Hokie taught me how to pray. And I think, God, that's why you sing. So I would pray earnestly, and then he would, if ever he was sick, oh, I'd pray. He later about almost died. I was giving mouth-to-mouth to him, and the laugh, I don't really care. I was trying to save him, and we took him to Tech, and they said he won't make it out of here. And I said, I'm going to pray and come back and get him. The man says, well, you can choose a religious view if you want. I said, that's a religious view. God Almighty's going to heal him, and I'll take him home. And so I came up there the next day and got him and brought him back, and he did. He lived a long time. And this week, he was in a little bit of pain. And Monday morning, I got up, and I thought, you know, he's hurting, so I got to take him to the vet. But I took him out there to the vet and sat down. He's purring on my lap, far away. Like, Hokie, I don't like his place either. We're good. That was Monday morning. Then she called the vet, says, he's not doing well. This is not good. And so Tuesday I prayed, and I'm like Jesus again. And I said, God, you got to heal him. And God says, now who's running this again? I'm like, sorry. If it's your will, remember what Jesus prayed to the garden? Not my will, but thine be done. I said, God, if it's your will, heal him. But otherwise, if he's got to go, you decide to. You take him, because I'm not going to make that call. God, the position God's already taken, you've got it, and that's not me. And so I prayed on Tuesday. Jenny went out there to see him. And she said, God says, I don't want you going out there, because you can't take it. Isn't God nice to shield you? So then I said, God, you take him. So Wednesday morning, they called me at 8:30 and said, I'm sorry. The kitty cat died in the night. And I said, I know you're going to think I'm crazy, but that's okay. Because I asked God to make the call because I didn't want to. You ever beat yourself up over, oh, I should have went out there. I should have held his hand. I don't know. Watch this. If you don't believe in God, you will. All right. I take him out there, and I said, God, I didn't want him to suffer. That's why I took him in 2 days. Well, how do you go from purring to passing? God says, he didn't suffer, did he? Oh, I see your eyes there. Yeah, he didn't suffer. But he's gone, and I miss him. I know. And I didn't go see him, but Jenny went to see him. Well, I wish I could give him a hug. You did give him a hug. Remember that day you went like this, and when you get him back to the bed? Oh. One last thing, God. I just wish I'd have been out there when he passed, holding his hand. God says, I already got that done. I wasn't out there. Let me show you. So the vet called me about 8:30. I turned around and called Melanie. I said, Melanie, I'm broken. But the only thing God hadn't taken care of is holding his hand, holding his paw. She said, you're going to think I'm crazy. But God woke me up last night at 3:48, told me to hold your cat. So I was holding the cat that I couldn't see and pet him. Really held Hokie while he died. You know what? Run that by you again. Now he's prompted to get up out of bed and go hold the cat that you can't see. She said he even got thirsty and gave him water out of the water fountain. And then I lay back down in the bed. When I get to heaven, I'm going to say, God, what time did Hokie die? You know what he'll say? 3:48. God let Hokie be held, not by me, but by somebody who prays. You believe in God? I said, God, I think you're taking care of him. He didn't suffer. He purred. I didn't hold him, but Melanie held him. I think we've got it all covered. We've got to do this. I kept praying. I said, but God, I know he's just kicking. He says, oh, no, I care. When a what falls to the ground, when a sparrow falls, I'll watch it. I can. God taught me prayer when that little kitty walked in the yard. He taught me prayer this week when he had to leave. So on Friday, I'm walking in. I thought, I went into bed and I said, yeah, there's other people hurting. I don't need to be selfish. Trail needs a breakthrough, God. And at 3:30, I prayed for a breakthrough. I said, God, he needs something, or he's just broken too. God answered my prayer about 3:30. God's out there. And when you start tapping into that, it's like grabbing an electric line. But Melanie comforted me because I thought, you know what? I don't have to worry about not holding you. She did. I don't have to worry about you suffering. He did. God takes care of us. Now, why does he answer it like we want sometimes and not like we want the other times? Well, that's because of God. I mean, Jesus had a lot of his prayers answered. But he said, Father, let this cup pass from me. And that wasn't. So God Almighty didn't even answer his son's prayer. Well, how am I supposed to pray? There's my answers right there for this one. Would you look on this little sheet, and it's going to teach you about prayer. But I had to be reminded this week, and isn't it odd? Perhaps you've wondered exactly how do I pray. If you have, then you're in good company. One of Jesus' disciples even wondered. He came to Jesus and said, Lord, teach us to pray. So this request we get from prayer in Matthew 6:9, that we commonly refer to as the Lord's Prayer. It's really the disciples' prayer, but he taught them to pray. We grow spiritually when we pray because we learn what the will of God is for our lives. We gain his wisdom when it seems God is... When it seems God is not answering our prayers. God, would you heal Hoki? I'm not going to. Well, if you don't want to, can you at least take him in your time? I'll do that. And I'm not going to question him. I have no questions. He answered all my concerns. So just because we don't get our way, don't give up on God. When it seems God's not answering our prayers, perhaps it's because the answer we seek is not for our overall good. God says, Edgar, I'm going to take him quickly in 2 days. What do you want him to do? Suffer down to nothing? Anybody ever had to put a pet to sleep? You don't want him to suffer. God says, I'm going to take him. How does he go from purring to passing? Because we don't want him to suffer. I want to hold him. Now he helps. God, I don't have anything to go. I know. Now, just multiply that. Make it your life. What am I going to do about him? I got you. We always act like God's for God's. Perhaps it's because the answer we seek is not for overall good. God has something else that's better in store for us. We should seek to align our will with God's will and not ask him to simply change his good plans to suit us. Keep in mind, even Jesus prayed, not my will, but thine be done. We may not get our way, but if God gets his way, we should be happy with that. And I'm happy. I'm all right. Hunky's in my backyard. It's okay. Does life go on? Yep. Key idea at the top. I pray to God to know him, to find direction for life, to lay my request before him. That's what I've been doing this week. There are some key verses. Being obedient to God's will actually, look at this, extends your ministry instead of limiting. Being obedient. I was obedient this week, so now I can go to camp this summer and tell them more about prayer. We sometimes think he's going to limit us. Randy Frazee gave his two examples right there. He says, I just wanted to stay where I was and turn down Max Licato's offer. What two projects and eventually books or series was Randy able to participate in? He probably wouldn't have been. The Story. That was the book you've probably seen. That's sort of like a paraphrased Bible. For some people who never read the Bible, they'll pick that up. It's in story form. A Story, which is a paraphrased Bible for folks to read. And the Believe series, the thing you're doing right now, we're doing right now, which we are participating in right now. We simply need to just trust God. In Matthew chapter 6, you don't have to turn. I can read if you're there. Prayer, chapter 6, verse 5. But when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room. You can even put your face in the red carpet of the bedroom if you want to. I've done that. Close the door and pray to your Father who is unseen. And then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like the pagans. God's not impressed with a bunch of words, for they will think that they'll be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. And this is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we also forgive our debtors. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Now, you probably learned that prayer when you were growing up. And I thought of some things coming from how I pray, and I'll just... Deity prayed. Jesus prayed. If He prayed, we need to. It ought to be a daily routine, not when you feel like it. I haven't prayed for a while, but, oh man, make it every day. I like this. Deity prayed. When the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also was baptized. And when He prayed, the heaven opened up. Well, I feel like God's done that for me this week, especially. Keep in mind that Jesus prayed regularly. Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. Early in the morning, while it was still dark, He would get up and pray. Even at 3:48, if that's what God tells you to do. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, looking up to heaven, He gave thanks. You think Jesus prayed a lot for meals? Yeah, all the time. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace and to help in time of need. Go directly to God. We don't have to go through anybody. God will listen to you. Make sure your prayers honor and worship God. Rejoice in Him. Give thanks. For this is the will of God. At least not to temptation. Say, God, I might be weak today. You stop me from going into areas where I'll be weak. Stop that. Lead me out of temptation. Keep me from evil. And we have decisions to make. I thought I'd have to have one. I prayed for wisdom. I said, God, if you'll take Hokie on home, I won't have to decide to, because the debt's going to ask me next day. He passed in the light. I went, yes. God, you did that. Oh, and then, you ever do that roller coaster? Oh, I did that. Oh, I wish I was out there. And I said, I had Him. Oh, God. You're on a roller coaster right now. God's got so many. If you like wisdom, just let them, God who knows everything about us. If you need a pattern to follow, try what Jesus told the disciples to do. Our Father who art in heaven. You can start with that. Max Lucado said this one time. He said, God, you're good. I need help. Others need help. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. That's a simple prayer. And you'll just sort of expand on those points. God, I need help. Or you start up, God, you're good. And sometimes you just stay there for a while. God, you're so good. You answered prayers this week. I need some help today, though. And then, others need some. Thank you. There you go. Short prayer. There's her. Notice this. Our Father, I'm calling Him because I'm kin to Him. I'm His child. God, you're my Father, and I know you're in heaven, and your name is holy. I'm going to pray that your kingdom come down here, and I'm going to pray that your will be done, just like Jesus said. Not my will, but thine be done. I'm going to pray that your will comes down to earth today, just like it's in heaven. Help me today. Give me some daily bread. Please forgive me of all the mess-ups I do. Forgive me. Somebody's messed up against me. I don't want to hold a grudge. Keep me away from temptation. Get me away from evil. And then he goes back to where he started. He starts off talking about thy kingdom come. Look what he ends with. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever, ever, and amen. If you haven't learned to pray, prayer makes a difference. I'm going to close with a couple of thoughts right here that, you know, be still, we're going to pray. Prayer makes a difference. The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. I just can't get over that. And I know I probably embarrass me. I need to tell you. But I needed comfort too. I just thought, Lord, I wish I was there. We beat ourselves up sometimes feeling guilty. God, let me know. I had Him. Now, she's obedient. She's listening. God speaks it. So God's going to speak to you this week. Pray for so-and-so. Pray for so-and-so. Okay. Be obedient. Whether it's getting you up out of bed or what, pray for them. Why? Our prayers may be awkward, our attempts may be feeble, but since the power of prayer is in the one who hears it, not in the one who says it, our prayers do make a difference. Emily, I stole this picture from Emily. It's nice that high schoolers pray.
There's hope for young people if they pray. That's me visiting 92, now 94-year-old Edgar Harrell, one of the survivors of the Indianapolis. I was like that in that picture, like I am now. I couldn't get words out. That's his son, Dave, and this is, I thought I was sort of seeing my daddy right there. I thought a World War II veteran. He survived shark attacks and staying out in the open sea for 5 days. And I'm shaking his hand. I said, "You're a hero." He said, "Oh, thanks for giving some attention to this old Marine. Man, you're the..." So I prayed with him. And I do this sometimes. At the end of our services, I'll sometimes say, "Let's pray together." And then I pray. You say, "Edgar, why do you think of it?" Well, let me tell you how I've come to pray harder. Hokie taught me how to pray and put my face in the carpet and pray for life. He taught me how to let go this week, and he's teaching me still. God uses a little kitty cat to teach me to pray better. But I tell you where I really learned it. Must be in my DNA or something. I learned it from that little girl. And that's my mama. She looks feisty right there, though. She's got that mean look on her. She grew up in the Reed family. Right here she is. And my Granny Reed, I think, between if my Granny Reed and my mom ever got together and said, "We're going to pray about things," I thought, "I'm in trouble." They'll take hold of God's arm. And then that little girl grew up a little bit, and then she finally grew into this young lady. If you look real close, you can see Melanie's face. That's my mama. How many people think your mama prays for you? Oh, I've been doing, I was not doing things I should in high school. Now that's hard to believe. And I walked in one day and I thought, and my mom and my granny were sitting there and she said, "You know, so-and-so is not doing so much." I thought, they know, don't they? They'd already talked to God about things. And I thought, you can't hide anything from them two prayer warriors. Then there's my mama working at the post office, and I'll get ready to leave. I go through that door, and I say, "Well, I guess I got to go." She said, "Wait a minute, man. We haven't prayed yet." And there's a little streak in me going, "Oh." I said, "Get rid of that." And I go back over and I take her hand. I said, "You're right. Now, Jesus?" I thought, "Can you talk to him like that?" Apparently so. "We need you to do something." And she'd make things happen in heaven because she said something on earth. And then 11 months before she left the world, that was in Thomas Day. That was in June of 98. And she left May the 13th of 99. Man, she taught me to pray. So she'd get a hold of me and she said, "Now let's pray about so-and-so." And I thought, we're going to go above their head, aren't we? We're going to go right above their head.